Here's Elliott. He's got it for the touchdown. Prescott, Gallup, touchdown, what a catch! Prescott floats it for Cooper, hits him in stride. Cooper stays in bounds for the touchdown, wow!
Welcome to another episode of Full Press Cowboys here on the Full Press Radio Network. I am your host, Chris Rucker. You can find me at Rucker2020. And as always, download the Full Press Coverage app in the Apple Store and in Google Play. So, it's been a minute. Let's get right into it. Your Dallas Cowboys are 2-7, last placed in the NFC East, well, tied for last. And heading into a game against the Minnesota Vikings coming off of a bye week and coming off of probably their best performance on all aspects of the football game against the 8-0 Pittsburgh Steelers. Cowboys gave it a great effort. That's probably the best defensive effort they've played this season, which makes two games now. One versus Philadelphia and one versus Pittsburgh. Maybe they should just play teams from Pennsylvania. But the defense came to play. Special teams was incredible. I feel like the special teams is almost feast or famine. They're either doing something really well or they're making just the most bonehead plays. The punt return toss was incredible. Tyrone Crawford blocking a kick. Almost blocked two of them was good. The special teams was just, they did everything well. A couple really good returns also. And when your team is not performing to the level that the Cowboys team is not performing to, little things like special teams go a long way. But you have to capitalize. I mentioned the two good returns. They got a total of 3 points out of those two returns. Those have to be turned into touchdowns. When your team is not doing well and when your team is littered with the injury bug. But again, just a great entertaining game, a great effort by the team that's just littered with injuries, which we'll talk about soon. We'll do stars up and stars down, which I kind of borrowed from a local Dallas radio station, so forgive me for stealing the name of that. Star up to Garrett Gilbert. Who was expecting anything out of him when he got the nod to start over Cooper Rush against the Steelers coming in? I was just like, shit. Like, this is where we are. We're starting a guy that the Cleveland Browns didn't even want before they had Baker Mayfield or after they had Baker Mayfield, whatever. The Cleveland Browns didn't even want him. And he came in and he had moxie and just everything you would want in a backup journeyman quarterback stepping in. Probably the best quarterback play we've had since number 4 went down. Which leads me to my question as to why Andy Dalton will be starting him. Now I know Andy Dalton's a 10-year veteran, multiple-time Pro Bowler, but Andy Dalton did not look good against the Arizona Cardinals. He looked scared. He looked shaken. In my opinion, he should have a very short leash during this game versus the Minnesota Vikings. If they get to halftime and they've only put up field goals and the game is close, he needs to be pulled. And it's time for McCarthy to start making tougher decisions than what he's making. Dalton will need to be pulled and Garrett Gilbert will need to be the starting quarterback. He had a really good rapport with the receivers. I mean, he honestly played a really fantastic game versus one of the best teams in the NFL. I'm not going to say they're the best just because they're undefeated, because honestly, their schedule has been not good. The only really good team they've beaten was the Ravens, talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers. So not going to say they're the best team, but Garrett Gilbert came out and played a hell of a ball game for a guy that wasn't even on the roster 2 weeks before that. So star up to him, star up to Tony Pollard. Tony Pollard looks extremely fast, way faster than Ezekiel Elliott. Now, what people fail to realize is that Ezekiel Elliott's got a bad hamstring, or what they fail to acknowledge. They just, you know, the blame's got to go somewhere. I'm not happy with the way Elliott's playing myself, but I understand there's a reason for it. A banged up offensive line, a missing quarterback, and a banged up hamstring is not necessarily the recipe for success. Now, does the defense change when they know Tony Pollard's in the game? Or is Tony Pollard just seeing things better, hitting the hole faster, and the hole nine over Ezekiel Elliott? That's, you know, that's something for the coaches to determine. I think he definitely needs more playing time. I feel like when he gets the ball, it's just, if the play is supposed to go here, he goes as fast as he can to get that play there. And I feel like Zeke is kind of taking his time trying to let things develop. And also, Zeke just doesn't have the explosion that Pollard does. That's been something we've known for years. And now that he's got a bad hamstring, it's even more evident. Do I think Pollard needs more playing time over Zeke? No. No. I still think Ezekiel Elliott's one of the better running backs in the NFL. I think he's struggling right now, which we'll talk about him later. And then the other star up, Antoine Woods. Not only did he have a really good game against the run, they shut Pittsburgh's run down, by the way. For the first time this season, our defense has actually played well against the running game, against one of the better running teams in the NFL and the Pittsburgh Steelers. But I'm not talking about Antoine Woods just for his defense against the run. Juju Smith-Schuster scored a touchdown and was at the star dancing on TikTok and was on his way there. And boy, did he get a wake-up call on his way running back to the star. He saw big number 99 standing there, who admitted after the game, and I quote, "I would have speared his ass had he tried to go dance on the star." I like that. We're 2-7, not playing well, but you're not going to disrespect the Cowboys. And I like that. We need guys like that to step up and show fight. For the past 4 or 5 games since Dak has been hurt, one of the biggest critiques of Cowboys fans is that it looks like the guys don't care. Well, Antoine Woods cared. He cared enough to where he was ready to get kicked out of that ball game to defend the star at midfield to make sure Juju couldn't go dance on it. I, as a fan, appreciate stuff like that. Star down. The referees. Listen, I'm not a person that likes to complain about officiating. I do it just like any other fan. But at the end of the day, there's 60 minutes in a football game. But when you throw an interception in the end zone and the guy you're throwing to gets tackled and there's no call, and then on the very next play, a call is made, or the very next drive from the other team, a call is made on a turnover that was not even nearly as egregious as the call that was missed in the end zone that stopped the Cowboys from getting a turnover back, and then the Steelers went down the field to score a touchdown. That's awful. You know, the play on Jalen Smith hitting Roethlisberger in the face, okay, you called that, but then you missed Gary Gilbert getting hit in the face on the final drive of the game. But again, you can't necessarily complain about the officiating dictating the outcome of the game when there were 60 minutes. And let's be honest, the Cowboys should have been dominating that football game. They should have been up by at least 14, maybe 17, the way they were playing. They were not capitalizing once they got in the scoring position, which has been a theme this entire season. Another star down, we just talked about him, Ezekiel Elliott. Again, he had a bad hamstring going into the game. We knew that. But it's just so many mistakes, so many, you know, we pay this guy a shitload of money. Not we, the Cowboys pay this guy a shitload of money. Eventually, you have to get past the fact that Dak Prescott is not there. You know, we thought he was the Superman and Prescott was the Robin. We're clearly seeing it was the other way around. Eventually, you have to get past that. there was a moment in the game towards the end where he drops a pass that was put right in the breadbasket. Yes, he's not a wide receiver, but he's a professional football player on offense, making almost $100 million a year. You have to make that catch. Going down the sideline would have got the Cowboys closer, would have stopped the clock. They may have had a better shot at getting to the end zone at the end of the game. That was just one of many mistakes that were made by Ezekiel Elliott to compound the awful, just awful season that he's having. Now, again, I think he's one of the better running backs in the NFL. I think he's having an awful year. It happens. I'm hoping, as a fan, that all of this stuff that's happening, we're getting it out of the way now. Elliott's having a bad year. Injuries on the offensive line. Injuries on the defense. Quarterback has his foot pointed towards Longview, and his body was pointed towards Dallas. You know, I'm hoping all that stuff and all that bad karma is out of the way this season, and next season we can get through with a healthy one, without the bad karma, without the mistakes. You know, the drop passes to turn into interceptions, all the fumbles. It's like it's been a snowball effect the entire season, and we can't figure out who to blame, where it's coming from, and whose responsibility it is. But Ezekiel Elliott definitely gets a star down. Another guy that could get a star down, but I didn't, but we'll talk about, is Jalen Smith. Rumors are rampant in Dallas right now that during this offseason, depending on how he finishes the season out, they are going to try to recoup some of the money that they paid him last year, which was their mistake. And if not, he could be released. Now, as a guy that's a fan of Jalen Smith and a cheerleader for Jalen Smith, because his injury was awful, obviously, had he not suffered that injury, he wouldn't be a Dallas Cowboy, and he'd probably be one of the better linebackers in the NFL now. But that was 4 years ago. He's not fast compared to other linebackers in the NFL. He's always behind. I feel like I start him every week in my Dynasty IDP Fantasy League because he's really good at jumping on the pile at the end and getting credit for tackles. He's got 89 tackles through 9 games of the season. It's 10 tackles per game. He's really good at that. Down the field, 10 yards past the line of scrimmage. Never a tackle that stops a first down or anything like that. I agree. You know, they made a mistake, and now they're trying to go back and correct it. The problem is who you're going to have to replace him. Leighton Vander Esch has a bad neck, which we know. Sean Lee is always banged up. Chances are you'll have a really high draft pick, but you also need a tackle. Tyron Smith has been injured a lot over the past couple years. You need a tackle. You need a safety. You need cornerbacks. You know, you need offensive linemen. The only thing you don't need is wide receiver, running back, maybe, and quarterback. Everything else is on the table. Are you really going to spend that high of draft capital on a linebacker? You may have to going into this offseason. You may have to if you get rid of Jalen Smith. So the rumors are, if he doesn't renegotiate his contract and he continues to have this awful year that he's continuing to have, they will move on and get rid of him. Again, big fan of Jalen Smith. I really like the guy a lot. I like his personality. I just don't like his play on the field the last year and a half. And when it's been a year and a half, it's not a blip on the radar. It's actually how he plays. He's always behind. He can never get there. I mean, I try to watch him as the defense is playing, and I feel like he's always two steps behind what's going on. He gets beat a lot with his eyes. I don't know if he's pressing. I don't know. But, you know, a year and a half ago, him and Leighton Vander Esch were the talk of the town, and now it's not going that way. So hopefully the second half of the season, these 2-7 Dallas Cowboys can turn it around, and it could be spearheaded by their linebacking core, who just had 2 weeks off. Let's talk injuries. The Cowboys placed Trevon Diggs on injured reserve. He'll be out 4 to 6 weeks with a broken foot. I feel like this is good news, bad news. Bad news, good news. because the same day that he was placed on IR, Chido Awuzie was taken off of IR. And I'm thinking, oh, sweet. We get Chido back. We got Trevon Diggs back. Now we can move Jordan Lewis into the slot. Anthony Brown can come in for spot duty. Now we're cooking. Now we got some cornerbacks. Nope. One guy comes in. Another guy goes out. See you, bye. Chido comes back. First game back in 2 months. And Trevon Diggs is out. And I thought Trevon Diggs has been playing better this past couple games than he's played all season. He's still gotten beaten, but he's made a lot more plays than he hasn't this past season. And that's something the Cowboys have missed for 10, 15 years, a cornerback getting interceptions, making plays on the football. He's going to be missed. He's going to be missed big time. Brandon Knight comes off of IR. He was activated today, Saturday, as I record this. And he's been missing for several weeks with the injury. Good news, bad news. Pre-game of Pittsburgh Steelers versus Dallas Cowboys, Tyler Biadasz gets injured during warm-ups. It's almost like you can't make this stuff up. So good news, bad news. Hopefully, Brandon Knight will replace Terrence Steele on the right side over there, and we can get some stability in the offensive line for whoever the quarterback may be. I know starting it'll be Andy Dalton, but my money's on Garrett Gilbert to end up being the starter going through the rest of the year. I don't see why they wouldn't. What do you got to lose? You start Garrett Gilbert, you can release Andy Dalton, you sign Garrett Gilbert as the backup to Dak Prescott, a whole lot cheaper than what Andy Dalton is going forward. You win the division, you go to the playoffs. You lose, you get a really high draft pick. I don't understand why you wouldn't. Yeah, Andy Dalton came here with the expectation that if Dak goes down, he would get to play. But honestly, what we've seen is not a good Andy Dalton. He's got more weapons with this team than he did have with Seattle, with Cincinnati. Yeah, we don't have an A.J. Green that's young, but we got three almost A.J. Greens. You should be able to move the ball with that. You should be able to score some points. And it's odd that Cowboy fans will complain about Dak Prescott, but you see, anybody can score points with this football team. No, they can't. You see it. It's there live in flesh. So however much money the Jones family decides to pay Dak Prescott this year, I don't want to hear shit from y'all about he was overpaid. Because clearly not anybody can just go and score points with this team. We've had three quarterbacks since Dak's been hurt. They've scored two touchdowns. One of them was in garbage time. So, Brandon Knight comes back. Tyler Biadasz will be placed on the IR, and he's available to return versus the Ravens game, which is in December. Let's talk about three players and a coach that need to step up this week versus the Minnesota Vikings, who are on a three-game winning streak. They are now 4-5. Dalvin Cook has just established himself as the best running back in the National Football League, in my opinion. Better than McCaffrey, better than Elliott, better than anybody you name that's a running back. I believe Dalvin Cook is better than him. 200 yards once or twice over the past couple weeks, multiple touchdowns. They are welcoming the Dallas Cowboys into Minnesota. And the three players that need to step up, I'll actually give you four. Antoine Woods and Neville Gallimore. Neville Gallimore had a hell of a coming out party against the Pittsburgh Steelers last week. So did Antoine Woods. He's finally stepped up to play. I believe they got the defensive line settled down. Now, you get those two young, big, hungry bastards in there, and the run game was way more decent. Those two guys are going to have to come to play. They have to bring their lunch pail and come to play against the Minnesota offensive line and the best running back in the NFL. DeMarcus Lawrence, I need you to get reacquainted with Kirk Cousins. You've sacked Kirk Cousins probably more than anybody else in your sack history. I need you to let Kirk Cousins know you're still his daddy. That's what I need to happen. I don't need the sex. I'd like him. But I want you to hurt him, not hurt him as an injure him. I want him to feel you. That's what I need. I need DeMarcus Lawrence to have a game where he's beating the right tackle, beating the left tackle, and in Kirk Cousins' grill the entire time. Because as Cowboys fans, we all know that Kirk Cousins, not good under pressure. Kirk Cousins really ain't good at all, but he definitely ain't good under pressure. The third player, we've talked about him earlier, Ezekiel Elliott. It's time for you to remind people who the hell you are. Are you one of the best running backs in the NFL? Or are you Dak Prescott's sidekick? Dak's not coming back this season, Zeke. It's time for you to step up. It's time for you to quit dropping the ball. It's time for you to quit fumbling. It's time for you to quit missing the hole. It's time for you to quit getting outrushed by Tony Pollard and the other running back, whomever that may be. Have you had a 100-yard game this season? It's time. Have you ever not gotten 1,000 yards when you've played all 16 games? I know you fell short the year that Commissioner Goodell had whatever against you. Have you ever not gotten 1,000 yards when you've played all 16 games? It's time for you to step up, Ezekiel Elliott. And the one coach, Mike Nolan. You've had two good games. Going into the, it would have been spectacular to go into the bye week, winning that game versus Pittsburgh, to be 3-6, tied with the top wins in the NFC East, but we didn't get it done. But your defense played really well two games in a row. I've said on this podcast multiple times, it would take 4 to 8 weeks for the new defensive scheme, for the new coaching staff, for everything to take hold. I did not anticipate all of the injuries, right? But it's been 8 weeks, Mike. Actually, it's been 9 weeks. 9 football games in a bye week. Take the momentum from what happened versus Pittsburgh. You know your team now. You know who you have available. You know what works and you know what doesn't work, hopefully. It's time for Mike Nolan to call a good football game against the best running back in the NFL and a subpar quarterback. Choke down on the run. Make Kirk Cousins beat you, and then take his head off. That's what we need. So Mike Nolan is the coach that's watched. As far as prediction goes, I told you guys weeks ago I was done picking the Cowboys to win until they won another game. The only reason I did not pick them against the Washington Redskins is because I refused to pick the Washington Redskins. Cowboys have not won another game. Since I made that proclamation, I have the Minnesota Vikings 27, the Dallas Cowboys 23. I hope I'm wrong by a lot. I hope the Cowboys destroy them. I'm not one of the people that can cheer for the Cowboys to lose. I'm a fan. I want the Cowboys to win now. Go to the playoffs, see what happens. Obviously, they're not going to win the Super Bowl. If they do not win and they go 2-14 or they go 3-13 or they go 4-12 and they get a really high draft pick, once the season wears off, I will be excited about having high draft picks in every round. But as we sit here in this season, I cannot in good faith cheer for them to lose. I'll pick them to lose, though. So I got the Minnesota Vikings 27, the Dallas Cowboys 23. The next time you hear my voice, it will be later in the week before the Thanksgiving Day football game. I will be welcoming a buddy of mine, Robin White, who makes these just hilarious videos after the Cowboys lose. I'll give you his Twitter information and everything once he's on the show. Him and myself will be talking about the Vikings game going into the Thanksgiving Day game with the Washington football team. We'll be talking about how we feel about the new coaching staff. He was supposed to be on the show during the bye week. He had a Brazilian jiu-jitsu tournament that he won gold in 2 times. So he's a little bit of a badass. So if you don't like his opinion, you might want to keep it to yourself. But my boy Robin will be here the next time. We'll be predicting the Washington football game, talking about where the Cowboys are right now, what they need, the whole nine, here on Full Press Cowboys. Again, I'm Chris Rucker. You can find me at Rucker2020. Follow all the Full Press Coverage Twitter accounts and download that app, like I told you. The app is fantastic. You get live programming every day from Ian Glendon for the 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock hour. You get other live programming. I believe Snowman in the Morning's on there. On Saturdays, we have Wrestling Saturdays. Shows like Boot to the Face with myself and my tag team partner Marty Vasquez, Talkamania, Crossbody of Work, Ringside Rant, Chaos Theory, The Irish Whip. I mean, there's plenty of content for you. Just download the app and you can find out whatever your little heart desires. We probably will be covering it. Other football teams, baseball, basketball, every sport is taken care of on the Full Press Coverage app. So I will be signing off. I'm Chris Rucker. This has been Full Press Cowboys. Peace!